Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Justice Clarence Thomas said that the United States Supreme Court must face its abortion decisions. Well, you know what? It had the opportunity, and it blinked. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber, the founder of BarbedWire.com, and Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel. Well, the Supreme Court this past term had two different cases in which they were requesting these cases to be reviewed by the different states, one Indiana, one Alabama. In the Indiana case, the law banned sex and disability selection. So in other words, you could not have an abortion because you didn't want the sex of the baby. You wanted a boy and it was a girl, or vice versa. Or that the baby, for example, had Down syndrome and you wanted to abort the baby because it has a, quote, disability, close quote. They could have taken that case to overrule Roe versus Wade. They decided not to. Then, Matt, the other case, and they had this case, they were considering it week after week after week. Finally, they came down toward the end of June to decide whether or not they're going to take the case, and they decided not to take the case. And in that particular decision not to take the case, Justice Clarence Thomas concurred. He amazingly concurred in the decision not to take the case. But he also issued an opinion that was very critical of the Supreme Court's abortion decisions in the past. And he said that the Supreme Court must face the abortion decisions, and frankly, that there is nothing in the Constitution that would prohibit states from passing the law that Alabama did. And the law in Alabama, known as the Alabama Unborn Protection from Discrimination Abortion Act, prohibits dismemberment abortion of live unborn babies. Those judges in that lower court upheld the decision to strike down the law under Supreme Court precedent, but they criticized the Supreme Court, and one of them actually asked the Supreme Court to overrule the bad decision in Roe versus Wade. The Supreme Court could have taken this case, and they decided not to. I appreciate Justice Thomas's strong statement, but I also wonder why in the world did he and four others, or all you need are four justices, to take a case. Why did they not vote to take this case?
Yeah, it's mind-boggling, really. But, the only thing I can figure is that maybe he saw some weaknesses within it that ultimately would not be helpful toward overturning Roe v. Wade, and which I believe he wants to do based on the language he used.
Now, I think he wants to overturn it, Holly.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. I'm thinking, and I've heard this discussion before, I don't think has a lot of significance to it in the sense that this is how it has to be. But I've heard that what the Supreme Court or some of the justices, maybe the fifth vote, if you will, want to do in terms of Roe versus Wade is they want to do it in two steps. One, where they actually cut it back significantly. And then two, after that, another case later to overturn it. This case would be a direct challenge to Roe versus Wade. It wouldn't be that subtle, but it could have been. It could have been that one, two-step process. But clearly, it was a direct challenge to Roe versus Wade with a direct appeal by the judges to overturn Roe versus Wade.
You know, I was really surprised about his decision because his language, I mean, he took the time to do this additional statement at the end here, and his language is very strong. I mean, he says, "This case serves as a stark reminder that our abortion jurisprudence has spiraled out of control. Today, we are confronted with decisions requiring states to allow abortions via live dismemberment." And of course, we know that's a D&E, and that is where you just tear the child limb to limb. And he even describes that in his opinion at the end. I mean, very descriptive details of what the dismemberment abortion is.
And then here's what he says, which is interesting. although this case does not present the opportunity to address our demonstrably erroneous, quote, undue burden, close quote, standard, we cannot continue blinking the reality of what this court has wrought.
Right.
Well, you know what? This case does allow you to address that standard. Mm-hmm. Frankly, overrule this terrible precedent.
Yeah.
Stop
Get
the bloodshed.
Rid of it. Yeah.
You know, because if you go back to 1992 was a case that came out of Pennsylvania, Planned Parenthood versus Casey. And that case was not a direct challenge to Roe versus Wade. It was notification, clinic regulations, other kinds of things. And yet, the original vote was 5-4 to overrule Roe versus Wade. And that decision was being written by Justice Rehnquist. And for 30 days, that was the decision, 5-4 to overrule Roe versus Wade. And that's how the opinion was being written. And O'Connor and Souter continued to lobby Kennedy, who was part of the majority, 5-4, to change his vote, saying it's going to undermine the confidence of the people in the court. If we created this decision in 1973, even if it was wrong, we don't even consider whether it was wrong or not. But look what's going to happen to the confidence of the court. The court only has power because it has confidence of the people. Unlike the legislature that has the power of the purse and can make laws, and the executive that has the power of the sword to enforce the laws, our power is only reason. We put out our opinions and people have confidence that we're doing the right job, and therefore they just fall in line and they execute our opinions. But if they lose confidence in us, then we lose our power. It's kind of like the Wizard of Oz. You're afraid of him because you hear this big booming voice until you pull back the curtain. You say, well, there's nothing to be afraid of. The courts have not the ability to make law. They don't have the ability to enforce law except for limited situations. So the only way that they can have power is they make a decision and the other branches of government comply with it voluntarily, and people think that they're doing the right job and they go along with it. So they said, now if we overrule Roe versus Wade, what will that do to the confidence of the people? They'll lose confidence in us. We have such a huge cultural shift. Therefore, it's a power preservation decision to not overrule Roe versus Wade. And so they persuaded Kennedy to flip his vote. And Kennedy changed sides.
And how many millions of babies have died 62. In a fashion that is appalling?
Yeah. And it was all based on a lie, though, guys. I mean, it was two activist lawyers that persuaded two women to take this case. They didn't even get abortions in the end. It was all based on a lie.
So what we have here is the Supreme Court did not take up the challenge out of Alabama. So what does that mean? That means as we speak right now, in Alabama, the law that would have banned doctors from taking forceps and dilating the woman and grabbing to various body parts like an arm, pulling it tight against the interior of the uterus, twisting and pulling and ripping it off just like you would a chicken leg from a roasted chicken. That can continue to happen.
But even Justice Thomas said, it is implausible that the Constitution would protect the dismemberment of a living child.
Yeah, and then he went on to describe that.
The
lower court actually said, speaking of the child, it bleeds to death as it is torn limb from limb. It can, however, survive for a time while its limbs are being torn off at the end of the abortion after the larger pieces of the unborn child have been torn off with forceps and the remaining pieces sucked out with a vacuum. The abortionist is left with a tray full of pieces.
That is not protected by the Constitution, folks.
No, it's not. And so the only thing I can think of is that they didn't have the fifth vote to overturn Roe versus Wade. I don't know who that person would be. There's suspicion, there's speculation. And therefore, the other four justices, including Thomas, did not vote to take the case. You need four justices to take a case, five justices to have a majority opinion. If they didn't have, as they reviewed this over and over again, that fifth vote, then the other four justices may have decided, let's not take this case until we get a case that satisfies that fifth person to begin cutting back Roe versus Wade. That's the only reason I can think of for them not taking this case and for Thomas to criticize it but not vote to take it, because he certainly doesn't believe it's protected by the Constitution. Pray that it is soon, I believe it will be, in which the Supreme Court does take a case and overrules this bloody decision of Roe versus Wade. For more information, go to lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776, lc.org.